is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Hey, good afternoon. Welcome to the Business Bunker show here on channelradio.co.uk/2 in association with bizradio.co.uk. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and my co-host, the stonkingly gorgeous Jill Serkin.
He says through gritted teeth.
Hello.
Hello.
You're right.
Happy New Year.
And to you. I haven't seen you for ages, have I?
No, well, I'm quite relieved, actually, Paul Andrews.
What, you haven't seen me for ages?
Well, no, not that. Obviously, I missed you and all that. But I've just come to the end of the last box of mince pies.
Oh, I thought you were just going to say you just come to the end of your tether or something.
Well, that as well.
You come to the end of your last box of mince pies.
And drained the bottle of Baileys.
Have you?
Yeah. So from now on...
It's not compulsory, you know. Don't have to finish your entire drinks cabinet. Oh.
Someone bought me very sweetly because they, you know, I'm gluten-free because of my my thyroid, darling. You know
yeah, that. Yeah. Well, I didn't know that because you've never mentioned it, but yeah.
Yeah, well, and my thyroid, you shouldn't have gluten with a dodgy thyroid.
With a thyroid.
So somebody bought me some gluten-free.
Flea. Some gluten fleas.
What's it called? Panettone.
Oh, right.
In a box.
All right.
And it was beautiful. But, you know, you've had Christmas cake, you've had mince pies.
When you say you...
Some
people have, I haven't.
Yeah. Have you not?
Well, I was on a diet all through Christmas.
You can't go on a diet on Christmas, that's just wrong.
I was, and I'm pleased that I did.
I don't think it's the season to diet.
I've lost 2 stone now, you know.
Have you?
Yeah.
Well, turn sideways.
What?
Hold your arm up.
No.
Come on.
I haven't got bingo wings anyway.
2 stone.
I'm not a girl. I don't have bingo wings.
See. 1 stone on that arm, I can see.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Anyway, so I've got to the end of the Baileys and the mince pies, but somebody bought me a panettone and it got to the stage where I thought, shall I give it to the birds? Because I was having butter on it as well.
And birds went, oh, I'm not having this. It's gluten free.
No. I thought this lady, who's really lovely, has spent a lot of money and she's bought me this panettone. So I took it round to my mum's because I'd eaten half.
Right.
And so my mum is slim as a rake. So she's having all her mates round and chomping through the panettone.
Well, there you go, Ruth. You got the leftovers again.
Exactly. Yeah. She's quite good at eating leftovers, though.
Well, she has to be in your family, doesn't she?
I've got a few things to ask you.
Oh, go on.
Number one.
Yeah.
Is this a Harry and Meghan free zone?
Well, no, we did do a whole thing on Harry and Meghan last week on
did
the show.
You?
Yeah.
Did you? Okay.
And if you want to know where I am on it now, my thing is, fine. Nice one, Queen.
I think the Queen behaved as always impeccably, but she's landed in Canada.
Yeah. I think she's come to the right decision. You can go and do what you want. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, they could always do what they want as long as they don't try and keep the bits that they, you know, you can't do it half and half.
Yeah.
If you want to leave, but leave everything.
I think Harry is quite vulnerable. I've been watching his body.
I think he's very naive.
I think he's vulnerable. I've been watching his body language.
I just think he's naive.
I think he's vulnerable. I've been watching his body language.
And I think they're both very naive. They claim that they want to do this because they've been... targeted by the tabloid media, which of course they have, but if they think
so
that
is everybody.
If they think that the tabloid media are going to leave them alone now, they've got another thing coming.
Exactly.
It's going to be worse. That's their choice.
My new husband works a lot in the USA, and I said to him last night, it was about 10 o'clock, he was still working, but I said, what is the American press like with, you know...
They're even worse.
He says they're even worse.
Yeah, exactly. They're even worse.
And
so they're going to get killed, and they just don't get it, but there you go. It's up to them.
So good luck, Harry. I hate the fact that it became sort of a racist thing because I don't think it was a racist thing at all.
No, that's just a deflection.
And especially on Twitter, it's really ugly.
That's just a deflection. The tabloid press were just as bad as Sarah Ferguson, Kate Middleton and everybody else.
Yeah. And she was called Weighty Katie.
I know.
And Camilla, look what Camilla went through.
Absolutely, that was even worse.
Yeah.
Now, the fact is that being in that kind of limelight, whether you're royalty or a celebrity, the tabloid media are going to go over everything you do and say and look for the worst possible ins and outs because that's what the tabloid press do.
There's a little video of him when he was at the rugby thing just 2 days ago and Canada came up in the draw and... His body language when Canada came up, he literally went from foot to foot, licked his lips, bit his lip. Lawrence, you've been an actor, you know about body language. Laurie the Lovey.
I thought you were going to say, Lawrence, you've been a prince, you know about this.
Yeah. Or a queen.
Yeah.
Well, Neil's obviously a prince. He smells like a prince.
There's
a little waft in the studio, listen. So in the studio, we have the fabulous Neil Simmons. from
no, we don't. Yes, we do. Yeah, we do.
I've got a heckler as well.
Yeah.
You can find him on the Twitter on Vanilla Webb's timeline. Do look, but he's at TN Recruits. But as he came in, his little waft. Now I've left my new husband at home. I cooked him fried egg. I'm like Superwoman. Walked the dog, fried egg, put my makeup on, did him fried egg with chorizo, and what else? Oh, organic bacon, no nitrates in the bacon. Very nice.
This could go on for a long time. When she gets to reading you the ingredients of our breakfast, you really know we're into snores time.
Little haunch of venison.
Yeah.
And some mushrooms, organic mushrooms. So there was a waft in our kitchen.
Hold on. Did you pick the mushrooms yourself?
No, they came.
Well, that's not acceptable.
They came in a little box.
Well, you can't claim to be the perfect wife if you went and bought the mushrooms. If you didn't go out at dawn and pick the mushrooms in the mist.
That might be a toadstool. Well, who would know?
But you should know. You're a witch.
Well, foraging.
Yeah, okay.
But as I left my new husband, there was a little whiff of sort of old fried egg and chorizo, however you say it.
Chorizo.
And here we have Neil wafting of Armani. What was it? Come and get me or something.
Armani, come and get me. Yeah, you go on.
What was it called?
Armani's Stronger With You, I believe it's called.
I mean, yeah. Makes me get a little bit hot under the collar.
Oh, wow.
I'm
blushing now.
So there's a little waft as he came in. And then flanking Neil Simmons from TN Recruits, we've got the lovely Lawrence Lovey Taylor.
Waft free.
Are you waft free?
Apparently.
Sure you did do smell nice.
But
I was too busy making coffee.
You did smell nice once, Lawrence. Yeah. Up your game, mate. Come on.
You can find him. He likes you to look at him on Facebook. And he's at easyas123uk on the Facebook.
I am.
Find him there. He is on Twitter as well. But he prefers you look at him on Facebook. So I'll do that after the show.
Cool.
And who might our sponsor be?
Today's show sponsor, I'm glad you asked, are the lovely folks at Kent Musculoskeletal Clinic.
Oh, I missed them.
They're specialists in ultrasound-guided joint injections, which sounds lovely.
Really good if you've got dodgy knees.
It's basically physiotherapy, but I was going to say on steroids, but that's not a good way of putting it, really, is it?
No.
It's physiotherapy, but they do a lot of work with ultrasound and things like that. And you can check them out and find out all the work they do by going to kentmskclinic.co.uk.
And you can listen to the show that he was on.
Suresh was on a show a few weeks ago.
What number was that show?
I can't remember.
Was it last week?
No. It was a couple of weeks ago. But if you go into bizradio.co.uk website, on the tab for past shows, you'll see him listed there for a couple of weeks
ago. Interesting.
Very interesting. He talked about all the work that they do there. Yeah.
And I would like also to get this off my chest before we start the show.
Oh, here we go.
What is happening with the Ashford roads? Because my sat-nav gave up. The road I normally come down, I don't know if you chaps had this, road I normally come down from Canterbury, wherever I come from, was completely closed.
You know why?
With no diversion.
You know why?
My sat-nav froze.
You know why?
I don't know.
Prince
Harry?
Shall I tell you? You know, the complete and total and utter, I'm being generous here, idiots at Highways England finally removed their absolutely ridiculous Operation Brock. Yeah.
Is that what it is?
No. Well, they've had Operation Brock for over a year where they chained off most of the M20 just in case we ever left the European Union. There was no rationale
and
for it whatsoever.
How much did that cost? Millions?
Well, but it wasn't just that. It was the fact that the motorway became unusable because they were also putting in the failed smart motorway, which they're now taking out again because it's dangerous.
Yeah, it's really dangerous. Are they taking it out?
Yeah,
I heard that the government was still doing it.
Well, there's a huge debate. At the moment, they've stopped implementing it, is basically what they've done. But also, of course, there's the new Junction 10 at the M20. So all of that was happening at once. Anyway, they finally decided to take out Operation Brock, which they did. And then what happened?
I don't know.
Do you know? The French went on strike. So Operation Stack was called into account this morning, which is why the A28 is closed.
Mon Dieu.
Yeah.
But this was the slip road up to the roundabout that I normally come off to come to the studio. Just here.
Yeah, yeah. Junction 10.
Is that to do with Operation
No, well, they're putting in a new junction.
Oh, well, it's really annoying.
They're putting in Junction 10A.
Ended up in Hastings.
Yeah, they're putting in Junction 10A, so it's all a temporary. There's two temporary junctions there, but also Operation Stack was put in place this morning. So,
Mind you, Hastings is quite nice. You know, yeah. I could have had fish and chips on the
You could have gone to Hastings, yeah.
I could have just called in.
Yeah. Anyway, listen, we'd like to hear from you. All the businesses out there in the southeast of England, and you can get in touch with us in all the normal ways. You can call me if you want on 01233 220035. That's Ashford. 01233 220035. You can email me at hello@bizradio.co.uk. But by far and away, the easiest way to interact with us live on air is to tweet me at VanillaWeb and to use the hashtag BBunker. We have got quite a few tweets, and we will read some of those. And we've got some emails and events that we want to tell you about. And I'm going to tell you about this to start with. It's something I got a couple of days ago, and it's a bit of a long one, but I'm going to read it first. It's a leap year fundraising treasure hunt that's taking place during February 2020. And it's on behalf... Alan Noakes sent me this, and Alan Noakes is the Deputy Commissioner for Kent Scouts. And Alan is taking a party of scouts to the Antarctic.
Really?
Yeah, so they're raising money. And as you can imagine, they need to raise a lot of money to go to the Antarctic because they've got to buy their own boat and everything. So they've got a fundraising treasure hunt in February. There are 29 clues and they will be emailed out daily, and you can solve them from the comfort of your own armchair. There's no need to actually visit the treasure locations, which are situated all around Kent. But of course you can if you want to. Yeah, there are four weekly prizes of a cupro nickel coloured Antarctic penguin coin in a presentation box, which will be awarded to the first person to email the correct answers each week. The coins are Rockhopper, King, Adelie and Macaroni penguins. Okay, then there's a sterling silver black and white cubic zirconia penguin pendant charm, also in a presentation box, will be awarded to the first person to complete all 28 clues, plus send in the final answer on or off after the 29th of February. The minimum donation to participate is £5. And if any of your weekly answers are wrong, you could donate another £5 to re-enter the following week and stay in the hunt. Yeah. To enter the treasure hunt late and catch up on the questions missed, you can also donate an extra £1 for every day you've missed. And you can find out all about this and donate by going to uk.virginmoneygiving.com/silver penguin quest treasure hunt. And then you can email alan.noake, N-O-A-K-E, at kentscouts.org.uk to register your email address to receive your daily clues. All proceeds will go to the Kent Scouts Request 2021 Antarctic Research Project, which is charity number 303471. So do go along to virginmoneygiving.com/silver penguin quest and find out all about it.
Very nicely done. And hello, Happy New Year, Mr. Alan Noake.
Yeah.
He's been listening for 150 years.
Yeah, yes, yeah.
And all the, what's it called, the Most Expensive Link.
He runs the Most Expensive Link. He's also a maths teacher. And yeah. I think he's still at Sandwich Technical College. I don't know.
Can but I ask I you the Twitter handle for the sponsor, please, Paul Andrews?
Yeah. Yeah, you can.
Can you tell me?
Oh, what, you want me to tell you what it is?
Yeah, because I'm doing a tweet.
As far as I can remember, it's Kent MSK Clinic.
Kent MSK Clinic. Because you are, you do have a memory like an elephant, as I've said to you before.
That is true. Yeah. Yeah. So what you got, Jules?
Well, I'm trying to do a tweet, really, but I'll read something.
Yeah.
Just to keep you quiet. Okay, so we have this is really interesting. Women and girls projects in Kent and Medway receive a major funding boost. So the grassroots groups. Oh, try and say
that's
that.
That's not
after.
Easy to say, is it?
Try and say that after a Bailey's.
Yeah.
Grassroots groups working in Kent.
Or a grassroots group.
Working in Kent. And, well, they've said plural, which makes it even harder.
Grassroots.
Grassroots groups.
Grassroots groups.
Say it over and over again.
All right.
Working in Kent and Medway get much-needed grants worth £89,000 to help support women and girls. And this is the second time that Kent Community Foundation has awarded this funding from the Tampon Tax Community Fund to local groups supporting women and girls who are experiencing issues such as period poverty, domestic and sexual abuse, and poor mental health. One of the projects being funded by Kent Community Foundation from the Tampon Tax Community Fund include Ashford Vineyard Church. An Ashford Vineyard Church runs the Beehive, which is a second-hand women's clothing boutique, stocked with high quality donations run by volunteers who are given work experience and training to help them find paid employment. And the Beehive is also open to women who can't afford clothing, who have been referred by local services to receive items free of charge. And since January of last year, 2019, they've given away almost £3,500 worth of clothing to women in the community. And the grant of £9,500, they say, will be used to pay for a member of staff to support the volunteer program, which provides key skills-based training to help Beehive volunteers secure future employment. Now, there is a website for this. So if you wanted to donate nice clothes tampons and sanitary products and probably
bottles of wafty aftershave.
Possibly. You can go to www.ashfordvineyard.org/the-beehive. And Beehive is spelt like the B-E-E-H-I-V-E. That sounds amazing. So it's ashfordvineyard.org/the-beehive.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Thank you for that.
Well done.
We've had a tweet from Michael Part Surveyors, and they say, we'd love a Business Bunker shout out today, if we may, Vanilla Webb. Thank you for such an awesome show. Well, flattery will get you everywhere. So do give them a follow. Michael Part Surveyors, they're a commercial surveying company and property specialists based in Medway, but covering the southeast of England. And they're absolutely lovely folks. So do give them a follow. MPSL on their Twitter. Michael Part Surveyors, consider yourself shouted out.
There's a free social media event. This is the lovely Zoe Cairns. Come along to the ZC Social Media Academy on the 23rd of January. When's that?
Thursday. I know that because it's my eldest son's birthday. It's Jamie's birthday on Thursday.
Yeah. Happy birthday, Jamie.
Yeah.
This is going to be 2 to 4:30 at the Bridgewood Manor Hotel in Chatham. And Zoe will be sharing with you the latest updates and trends in social media. Register your free place. And all details will be on Kent BizRadio.co.uk to click and reserve your free place for that. So that's 23rd of January, 2 to 4:30 at the Bridgewood Manor Hotel in Chatham.
I've had a tweet from Phil Wilson. I have a tweet every day from Phil Wilson.
He's the drummer.
He's the drummer. He's Pip Drums on the Twitter.
Yeah.
He's on a tour at the moment. He's on a tour of Germany. Is two more shows on the German run and then back home for a day before going to Stoke and Manchester.
And where is he now?
He's in Germany at the moment.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and Pip's the drummer with Mud. Yeah, if you remember, Mud.
That's right.
But he's on tour at the moment. I'm not sure if he's on tour with Mud or somebody else because he does a lot of drumming with a lot of people.
Could get a bit squelchy, couldn't it?
With Mud, yeah. It gets all between your toes, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
Gets between your tiger feet.
Did you see that tiger on telly last night? I was watching 10 o'clock news because the new husband was still working.
Yeah.
So I was watching the 10 o'clock news because I was bored, really. They had a tiger that had lost its paw to a poacher, been caught in a trap. And they tried to put a false sort of bionic paw on it.
Right.
And they
prosthetic.
Yeah, that's the word I wanted. A faux paw. And it came out from the anaesthetic. They put it in a little cage to recuperate and it just banged its paw and the whole thing came off.
Oh, dear.
And I said, why is that news? It's awful. It really upset me for the rest of the evening because it was obviously in agony. Yeah. And I think they should have waited.
Do you see what we did there? What the link? The tiger feet. That was such a brilliant link, wasn't it?
Yeah. I don't normally watch news at 10.
No, but we planned that so well and we executed it really well. Yeah, and that went really well in the rehearsals, that link.
Yeah.
That's brilliant, wasn't it?
We faxed each other at 4 a.m., didn't we?
Yeah, yeah. Saying, do you know anything about tigers? No, but I can put something together.
I'll Google it.
Yeah. I'll get Phil involved.
Get well on that tiger. Yeah, and I bet Phil does that rift because my Shay, the baby, who's now 24, he learned drums. He learned every instrument. You know, typical mother, I gave him, started off a recorder. He went through the whole, every instrument in the universe. Ended up on a bassoon, I think. But he used to go on stage at St. Christopher's in Canterbury and do that riff that they all do. Very good.
Yeah.
I bet Phil does that.
I'm sure he does. I mean, Phil's really great. He does this whole thing with Whackers. Where he gets the entire audience to play in harmony. And it's really clever. If you ever get a chance to get involved, it's really clever.
Does he throw his stick into the audience?
Well, no, it just shows you how by by coordinating things, you know, so each of you have a different coloured whacker that you hit together, and he just gives you, so if you're the green, he goes, I want you to do 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. Okay. And if you're the yellow, I want you to do 2, 2, 2. And when he pulls the whole thing together, you've got a complete orchestra of percussion, which is just, it just sounds brilliant, even though they're in a single musician in the audience. And
have you done it?
Yeah, loads of times, and it's really good fun.
You're tone deaf as well. So
exactly. I'm completely deaf.
If you can do it, I
had my ear test the other day, and they said you're deaf. You're deaf in the complete mid range.
You didn't need to. Didn't pay for that, did you? I could have told you.
No. I'm at my age, you're getting free.
All right.
But you could have told me what?
That you were deaf. I mean, you've been deaf for years.
What?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
What?
Hello.
Hello. The fact is, I was staggered at the cost. Because all my family were deaf, you know, my dad was deaf, and my dad spent a fortune on a hearing aid and stuff like that. And I thought...
I sat and chatted to your father once for about an hour and a half.
I know, I didn't hear a word you said.
And then Stu came up and said, Jules, you're absolutely wasting your time. You cannot hear a word. And I was having a really lovely conversation.
You would, yeah. He's got who's the mad bat? His mouth keeps going, boom, boom, boom. I don't know, Dad. I couldn't believe the cost of hearing aids, but also I couldn't believe that what they do now. You now buy hearing aids.
Cochlear transplant.
No, I don't need a cochlear transplant because my hearing is in the mid range. It's not the top and the bottom that's gone. But the fact is that the hearing aids now are unbelievable. They're all Bluetooth enabled. You can attach it to your mobile phone. So when your phone rings, it actually rings in your hearing aid. And if you want to listen to music, you don't need earbuds. You can play your music through your hearing aid.
It's amazing. But will that help you if you're just mid range?
What?
Lawrence, can you take over, please? This is my first show back after Christmas. I'm mince pied out. I'm a little bit jaded. I need a coffee, frankly, and maybe a Bailey's.
Well, I'll tell you what, should we play some cheesy tunage?
We can do. Well, don't talk about cheese because I've still got a load left.
Please
come round. You love cheese.
Right.
I've got some beautiful blue. I tell you, really nice. I've got something called the Kentish Cobble. Oh, God, it's good. From Kentish Cheesemakers. Cheesemakers of Canterbury.
You ain't got any British Bishop Stink, have you?
I've got some of that.
Have you?
Yeah.
I'll tell you my favourite is Yarg.
Cornish Yarg.
Anyway.
Oh, you like Cornish Yarg?
Do you?
Yeah.
Me too.
Yeah, you've got to say it like that.
What, like that?
Have Cornish Yarg.
Like pirate.
Yarg.
Oh.
Yarg.
Okay. I've got a tune here.
I won't guess
it. I've got cheesy tunage. You won't guess it?
No, I don't. I doubt it.
Why? You've never got one wrong, innit?
I know, but yours are getting worse and worse.
They are.
More and more
Amanda gave me some right ear action. Well, what? It was the rubbish you played last week. It was disgusting. I turned the radio off. You can't do that. She went, it was so bad, but it was just a link to the guests, and this is a link to a guest as well.
It depends what the era is. If it's 90s.
1, 2, 3, 4, come on, baby,
Gloria Estefan.
Yeah. 1, 2, 3. Yay.
When I look into your eyes.
flexible training solutions for the glass, glazing and wider construction industries. fitfortrade.co.uk for occupational compliance and peace of mind.
Rift Accounting, your small business bodyguard. Riftaccounting.com.
My Careers Options gives real career choices for your child's brighter future. Through simple, fun questions and puzzles, your child will discover careers they can do, want to do, and which suit who they are. My Careers Options unique careers report also supports the school to help your child make informed decisions about their future education and careers choices. 50% off today with code BBUNKER50 at mycareersoptions.co.uk. That's BBUNKER50 at mycareersoptions.co.uk.
Grow your business with Kent's Best Business Events. Visit bestbusinessevents.co.uk.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
This is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back to The Business Bunker. Bit of Gloria Estefan there. Did you like that? You got it, didn't you?
Yeah, I always get it. Sorry, I'm just looking at the Twitter. There's lots of elephants coming up on the timeline now. It's very
elephants?
Strange. Yeah, well, Phil Wilson started it off.
Right.
Mr. Drummer talking about... No, it was Sound of Spitfire that started it off, talking about his ears. And then I said your memory was like an elephant. So Amanda Flanders put a great gif. I always want to call
she
it.
She would.
I always want to call it a GIF. I don't know why.
Do you know the guy that developed GIFs actually insisted it was called a GIF.
Really?
Yeah.
So I'm right.
Yeah, but it's not English. It doesn't make sense. It's a GIF. Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
It's
but
a GIF.
I've always called it a GIF.
It's a GIF. But he called.
You say giraffe.
Yeah, but he wants. Yeah, he gets
giraffe.
Really angry and says it's GIF. It's
well,
GIF.
I agree.
And I said, well, you should have spelled it with a J then, shouldn't you?
Yeah, well, yeah. I agree. But then you see product placement. That would have been
anyway.
Like
what did Amanda GIF?
Oh,
GIF.
I can't remember now. Oh, yeah, she. I said you had a memory like an elephant.
Yeah.
Spitfire had already put elephant's ears on. Amanda put a GIF on of a wiggly elephant's bottom, saying that yes, you do have a memory like an elephant for some things.
She's trying to say I've got a big bum.
Well, maybe. It did look quite familiar.
Well, thanks, Amanda.
But I think the point was, the poignant point was for some things you have a good memory. So for some things, it's obviously a personal little dig there.
Really?
There's some things obviously you're forgetting.
Have I forgotten something?
Yeah.
Oh, blimey.
I reckon.
What a shame. Never mind.
I know what my new husband forgets lots of things. I just had to WhatsApp him and tell him there's salad in the fridge because he'll leave it rotting.
Come on, Gav, get your game
it
together,
needs
mate.
To be, it's organic.
What, Gav or the rotten salad? Yeah.
He's got jet lag, poor thing.
Yeah.
He's just back from Chicago and all sorts of New York. Right, jobsinkent.com.
Oh, right. You've got a tweet.
I believe they have. Mm. So they've said a couple of things. Give me a clue. Here we are. Was it the soaring high in the family business?
No. They've launched it. Shall I read it? I've got it on my phone here.
It's a pinned tweet. Do you want that?
No. They tweeted you with your name in it.
Oh, okay. Well, you should have told me. I'll go on to mentions. I'll go on to mentions. But I've got so many. Look, I've got Neville Gorn.
I know. They've all started now. They've all woken up.
Alison Palmer.
They're sending gifts of elephants and other dumb stuff. Well, while you're doing that, I'm going to read something.
When did they tweet me this? How long ago?
This morning. Oh, yeah, a couple of hours ago.
Oh, yeah. Found them. Hey, they say. Jules Serkin. Very American. I prefer hello. Hey, Jules Serkin and Vanilla Web as a little afterthought. You're slotted.
Which is how I've done it, because I read my tweets.
Yeah. Shout out, please. So they say, we've launched our new simple CV. This is a really good idea. I did see this. You can use it if you haven't got a full CV yet, or with your main CV, it's free and easy to use. You can set up and start using a simple CV in minutes, and you can go right here and find out how to do it in minutes. A simple CV. And it's jobsinkent.com with a little / simple CV. Very simple.
Yeah, it's a template.
What a great idea.
It's a template that helps you figure what kind of job you want. And one of the problems is when you apply for a job, a lot of people just send we're going to talk to Neil about this later, but a lot of people just send a standard generic CV, and that kind of doesn't work anymore.
You need to tailor it.
You need to tailor it for what it is you're applying, and this is a little template that helps you do that, basically, is what it's there.
And
give it a try.
And they also say it's well, Jobs in Kent say it's a great way of summarising your key strengths.
Yeah.
So try out the new simple CV if you're looking for a job. Brilliant.
Fantastic. I need to tell you about this, and then we're going to talk to our first guest.
Can't wait.
The Venues and Events Expo Southeast 2020 will be opening the doors to the third annual Vexpo in 2020, and we'll be hosting Vexpo in a brand new venue, more central in the southeast of England. We'll have over 80 amazing exhibitors showcasing the very best venues and suppliers based in the southeast, giving you the chance to connect with them and to get to know what they can offer you and your clients. Plus, we'll be running some fam trips after the expo to allow you to truly experience what the Southeast has to offer. For those that don't know, a fam trip is a familiarisation trip where you tour a number of venues and experience what they do. Put the date in your diary and we'll send you more details as soon as we officially launch next month. But it's going to take place on Thursday the 14th of May from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. and it's taking place at the Hampshire Court Hotel, which is just outside Basingstoke. And you can find out all about it by going to www.venueseventsexpo.com. .co.uk. That's venueseventsexpo.co.uk. Cool.
And Fruitworks Community Workspace is expanding like elephants. We have easy access, no long-term commitment for the hot desk or a fixed desk. What's the difference between a hot desk and a fixed desk?
Hot desk is whatever table's free you use, and a fixed desk, it's your desk and nobody else can use it.
Do you have to ring up and see if there's a desk free for a hot desk?
No, you just turn up.
You rock up.
Yeah.
And small private office available also in the expanded Fruitworks in Canterbury. You can go to the email of hello, not hey, I like that, hello@fruitworks.co for details. And you can go to the website, which is www.fruitworks.co. Mm. No UK on the end of that.
There's no UK and there's no m.
Very
it's
easy.
Co.
Co.
Yeah.
Good. Nice.
I'll tell you what, should we talk to our first guest?
I think we should.
It's an absolute pleasure to welcome back Lawrence Taylor from EasyAs123. Lawrence, welcome back. I'm trying to think when you came on last. It was quite a while ago, wasn't it?
Just over a year.
Yeah.
Yeah, just over a year.
So it's lovely to see you again.
A few pounds heavier, a few pounds poorer.
Well, welcome to the club. Although I am a few pounds lighter than I was. But, after having my throat cut, it seems, and not consuming anything for months. Anyway, we're here to talk about you. Why don't you remind the listeners a bit about your background and what it is you do, and then we'll go from there.
Well, the background is a couple of years ago, I started to hear alarming news about this thing called Making Tax Digital. I worked in project management as a producer, worked as financial manager, as a bookkeeper as well. And it seemed to me that this was going to be a bigger upheaval for most people, for most sole traders, small businesses, than auto-enrollment pensions, than GDPR. Mm-hmm. It's going to be massive when it eventually rolls out for everybody, possibly in April 21, April 22. And I started to look at it and think, what people really, started to design a system and a software and a service that might really help the self-employed and private landlords and really help them keep on top of it. Mm. And so what we're doing now is we're just sort of testing the software, but we're also launching a campaign in the next couple of months about sort of financial resilience, financial literacy, and really keeping on top of your finances. Because these changes that HMRC are going to bring in are huge.
Yeah, absolutely they are. And on top of that, they're playing around with this stupid reverse VAT nonsense as well. There's loads of things being rolled out.
What's the reverse VAT?
Oh.
We need another program on that.
Yeah, basically it's aimed mostly at the construction industry. HMRC are money grabbers, yeah? They don't like to think that they're not getting the money that they should. And what was happening in construction, because VAT is an input tax and there's lots of people in a chain in construction because lots of people subcontract to other people.
Yeah.
And a lot of the VAT was getting lost in the middle. Yeah, they were never getting the VAT.
Yeah.
So reverse VAT is a scheme. Well, it kind of depends because it's not very well thought out. But basically, you have to pay the VAT before you've done anything. Yeah. But only some of you in the chain have to pay the VAT.
Sounds very complicated, it as usual.
It's incredibly complicated, and it's aimed at people that aren't. And one of the reasons I brought it up when talking to Lawrence, it's aimed at a group of people that aren't renowned for their bookkeeping skills in the first place.
Yeah.
It was supposed to come into force this April, just gone. It was such a fiasco that they withdrew it because even HMRC couldn't explain properly how it was supposed to work, and they're rethinking it. But they are going to implement it.
But we've got something even worse, Jules, which is Philip Hammond snuck this into the autumn statement, I think, in 2018, didn't he, about the VAT threshold coming down from 85 grand to more like it is in France and Germany, sort of 40, 45 grand.
Yeah.
So if you earn 40, if your turnover is 40, 45 grand, in the next year or two, potentially, you're going to be under VAT. And that, for most people, you know, if you think, well, you struggle to do one tax return a year, you're going to have to do four income tax returns a year, and then on top of that, account for VAT, which for most people is going to be, you know, I don't want to be negative, but
but you're right.
It's a real struggle. Yeah. And also they'll soak up the VAT. That's what always happens.
Yeah.
You've got a product for 100 quid. You're not going to charge 120 quid, 100 quid plus VAT, are you? You're going to probably keep your prices down and you'll soak up that VAT within your margins. And that's just disgraceful.
Mm. Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, we've got some big things coming up.
It's very tough for small businesses because you do everything when you're running an SME. That's the trouble. You know, you're doing your website, you're doing your social media.
And that's entirely Lawrence's gig here, isn't it?
Yeah.
That says this is so bloody complicated, and it's aimed at people that aren't great at doing it in the first place. That's the whole stupidity of this.
Yeah.
It, you know, most micro businesses and self-employed people and very small companies are one-person bands who are doing whatever it is they're doing. So they're flower arrangers or a plumber or whatever they do. That's what they do. They didn't do bookkeeping. They didn't do I'm an accountant or a tax specialist or a digital this, that or the other. Yeah. I'm an electrician. I'm a plasterer.
Yeah.
And now what we're doing is saying, and while you're doing that, can you do 8 tax returns a year?
Yeah.
And, you know, most of us struggle with one.
Yeah, and it's the unpaid admin thing that catches most people out.
Yeah.
Is that what we're trying to do is just to give people, like, some easy steps that they can take, that they can just do every week.
So off with your number one easy step.
Your number one easy step is your bank.
Yeah.
Your bank, get your bank sorted out. Don't put your personal stuff through. It doesn't need to be a business current account. Sorry, banks, you know, high street
banks.
Well,
you can get a free one with the FSB, which is what I use.
Just get a totally separate current account and do all of your business stuff through there, because what's going to happen is we reckon that the software plans for HMRC are that they're going to have access to your bank account.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So they will base their tax calculation on what they're seeing coming into your bank, and you then have to go back to them and say, "Oh no, that £1,000 that came in, that was a gift for multi-ethyl or whatever it was."
Yeah.
So this is coming. It's already happening in France. It's happening in Australia. It's happening in a lot of countries because of the open banking situation.
Because they can. Because it's digital.
And they've already got the information on pension savings and investment. They've got the information on your P60, on your pay slips, as Neil knows. So this is what's going to happen. And as soon as they've got that, then you need to be on top of it, because they're going to be, it's like tax codes, like PAYE codes. They're going to be flinging bills out to you every month. Mm. They want to make you pay every month, not every 6 months on an account, etc. They're going to make you pay every month. And then what we reckon is that they will then broaden out self-assessment to how it is in Australia and America. So everybody who, because they see basically people who've got jobs, unemployment, people have got a side hustle, a lot of people have got buy-to-let property, people have got pension savings and investment, all within the scope of self-assessment. So they probably will push self-assessment out for everybody. And this is the point at which most people are just going to go, what? Yeah. This is just, as Paul says, absolutely right. You started out as a florist, as a plumber, as a marketing specialist in recruitment. You didn't think that this was going to be part of what you had to do for 2 hours a night or for 10 hours.
Exactly.
But there are certain easy steps that you can do. Get your bank sorted out, because that's the worst thing that I have to deal with when I'm dealing with accounts coming in, is firstly I've got to separate all the bits that...
So the personal stuff from the business
stuff.
It is the perennial activity of self-employed people that they don't think about separating their business from their personal. They tend to think of the money they earn as theirs.
Yeah.
So they sell something, you know, they'll go and fix a tap washer. You pay them 100 quid and they go, oh, I'm going to go shopping. And they buy their shopping with the 100 quid you just gave them. They don't do bookkeeping and they don't keep it separate. And, you know, because most self-employed people, what they earn is their income.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, it is declared as their income.
Yeah.
I'm not saying they're cheating their taxes, but they don't keep a record of it.
Paul, you just brought it onto there. It's a very neat segue into the second part, which is at least 20% of that isn't your money.
Yeah.
So that 100 quid,
yeah.
You know, that 20 quid of that, you have got to set it aside.
Right, yeah.
You know,
so
we're
you
coming up to
shot.
The tax return deadline, 31st of Jan, which is the first payment for most people when they're self-employed. And there are millions of people around the country right now who are scrabbling down the sofa to find loose change to pay the tax bill.
Yeah.
Whereas actually, if you just got, even if it's a flexible ISA or some savings account, you've got your banking app now, just swipe it aside. You get a payment come through, just swipe it, just 20%, put it into a separate place and don't touch it if you can really help it.
But
at the end of the day,
this is one of the funny things. I went to, because I do these things, because I've,
what, you put
idiot.
It down the side of the sofa?
No. I went to a seminar from HMRC on this because I just thought, this is mad. But one of the reasons that they wanted to do reverse VAT is they get really annoyed that so many builders use it as a cash flow thing.
Yeah.
So you charge VAT, but you don't pay the VAT bill for one quarter. So they're relying on the 20% on everything as their cash flow. Yeah, but then when they come to pay the bill, then they've got a problem then, and they have to scrabble around to try and get the money together, and then off they go again for the next quarter, where every 120% they earn, for want of a better way of putting it, they spend the 20% as cash flow. But it's not, it's VAT.
Exactly right. For most people, when I look at their books and look at their accounts, you know, the biggest creditor is HMRC. You know, it's either PAYE or it's VAT or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And, you know, that it's a dangerous game to play because, you know, we all know they've been, you know, sidetracked by Brexit. The HMRC agents are dealing with that. But, you know, they are refusing to go after, they're making a lot of noise about going after the Google tax and, you know, going after the big people and Amazon and the offshore people. But their plans are saying a different thing. Their plans are saying they're coming after the small people
because
again.
The small people are the ones that are easy game in
easy
a way
game.
Because we can't afford to fight them. And
we're scared of it. We're scared. Every single time I do a client submission and I'm there about to hit the submit button on the tax return, I still get a sort of little... And they've added this thing into the tax return online now, which has said, I commit to provide honest and accurate information on there. And it just kind of puts this fear of God into you. VAT is even worse.
Because
you think, if I make a mistake on this, what's going to happen?
And to my mind, that's the biggest issue, is that I don't think people are trying to skim it or scam it.
No.
But they make genuine mistakes because it's so complicated. I mean, HMRC themselves are the worst organisation in the world. You ask them a question, they don't know the answer. And you're supposed to know, and they don't know. You go, well, how do you do that? And they go, well, I'm not really sure.
Most complicated tax system in the world. I've just been looking at the Indian tax system, and you'd think they were sort of starting from scratch. It's really interesting because we've got potential to deliver the software out there. And you just sort of think they'd start from a blank slate. You know, okay, so we're building up lots of different small businesses, et cetera. Etc. But what they've done is they've looked at the UK HMRC system and they've got the worst bits of it.
You know,
it's so complicated.
No,
stop.
They're actually copying our system.
It looks like it.
I'll tell you a statistic now. There are 12 million pages in the UK tax code. 12 million. The most successful economy on the planet, Hong Kong, has 120 pages. For their tax system.
I know.
Well,
that
was my next question.
All upside down.
If you were looking at any countries, because I was wondering about Sweden and that, because they pay very high taxes in Sweden, don't they?
Well, they've reduced their taxes.
The country is spotless. You know?
No, it's not. It's a mess.
No.
Sweden.
I've just been there.
Yeah, Sweden's a mess.
What? Dirty?
Sweden?
No, it's
a country, it's a mess. Their economy's down the tubes.
Oh, I'm not talking about their economy, but I'm saying that when I was there, they said that they pay high taxes, I was told. And it's the country is spotless. It runs beautifully. You know, forget the cycles, you know, obviously bikes are everywhere. But there's not any rubbish. It's all clean. The rubbish is clean. It's recycled. Because they pay high taxes. That's what I was told.
But they've had to reduce their taxes because people couldn't afford it.
Oh, okay.
They pay the same corporation tax rates as we do now.
Okay.
They used to pay higher taxes than us, but the country was going broke, so they had to put the taxes down.
So, Lawrence, that
is a good point, actually, is about, you know, the, when you say, Paul, about, you know, self-employed people are not trying to diddle the system.
Yeah.
The, you know, vast, vast majority of us are trying to pay a fair tax.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, you know, and that's... The incentive to do that, surely, is when you see that the tax is then being spent wisely on public services.
Yeah. Potholes.
And you see that, and you see that, you know, what you're trying to do when you're running a business is actually being helped by the infrastructure.
Mm.
So I think that doesn't help when you've had 10 years of austerity and you come around and say, well, actually, the what I'm doing here is hampered by the roads, or it's hampered by, you know, poor broadband in rural areas, or whatever the issues
are. Good point.
You want your taxes to go to pay for this.
And it's also one of the things that causes a lot of political arguments and a lot of misinformation about how things happen. If you look at health, for instance, in this country, that for me the problem is every other country in the world, leave aside America, which is a mess. Every other country in the world has reasonable, free at the point of use healthcare. But it's always ring-fenced and homologated, and it isn't in the UK. We thought it was with national insurance, but it isn't. That's just a general tax, and health services are paid out of general taxation. In every other country in the world, the tax is homologated, so you pay a health tax.
Yeah.
So you know what you're paying and you know what you're getting. If you want any more, you go, do you know what? We ought to pay more health tax because we want a better service.
Yeah.
You can't tell that in the UK.
And the Lib Dems tried it with the education system as well, didn't they? They said, right, one penny on goes to the education system, and people didn't buy it.
Yeah.
People just went, oh, okay, well, we'll just carry on, you know.
Yeah.
And you know, it's so, so important, this question, because, you know, tax is such a, you know, it is death and taxes and trouble, you know.
It's an emotive subject.
You know, and, you know, I think that people have got to get used to the fact that they are going to be taxed from different places. You know, if you've got this portfolio career and you've got this portfolio of different things that are, you know, you can't say to yourself, oh, well, you know, the side hustle is that, you know, I do my PayPal, I do my Amazon business on the side. You know, that's got to be part of your thinking and part of your planning.
Yeah.
You know, part of your financial planning.
Well, there's an awful lot of small restaurants. You know, I work with the food industry a lot, and a lot of small restaurants and fish and chip shops only take cash.
Yeah.
A lot of cafes only take cash.
And this has happened in
How
France.
On
with,
earth?
When the HMRC in France got hold of the bank account details, you know, and could see your bank transactions, of course the French just went,
yeah.
We're going to go back to a cash economy.
And
really?
Doing, exactly.
But, I mean, we have a fish and chip shop, very well-known fish and chip shop in Whitstable in the harbour area, and the people are queuing out the door. They must be taking thousands, but it's all cash.
Yeah. Well, you know, this is one of the problems that, you know, you drive people into doing different things. And it's not – I don't believe that most people want to cheat on their taxes. I don't believe they do. There's always going to be some.
I think the fish and chip shop might.
No, but
they're raking it in.
No, but you don't know that they're not declaring it, you know. The fact is, though, it's too complicated.
Yeah.
So, for instance, if you run a food outlet, you can't count your tips towards your national minimum wage. But then that leads the people getting the tips to believe that they're just tips and they don't have to declare them. But they do, because according to HMRC, it is part of your wages. It just isn't. But it is. And you go, well, hold on a minute. You know, either it's part of my wages or it isn't. If it's not part of my wages, why do I have to declare it? Well, because you have to declare all income. But you can't use it as income in terms of national minimum. It's just a nonsense. Yeah. It's just the whole thing's a nonsense.
I was at a pub on Saturday, having liver and bacon, actually, very good for the thyroid.
Yeah.
A little bit overcooked.
Have you got a thyroid problem?
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
Low thyroid.
You should mention it.
Yeah, that's why I struggle. But my liver at home is much better. It was.
No, your liver. You mean your personal liver or the liver you cook?
When I cook.
You've lost me now.
It was a little bit dry, a little bit overcooked, Lawrence. But I said to the lady when I gave it, I said, if I pay by card, do you get this tip?
Mm.
And she said, yes, we do. And I said, will you pay tax on it? And she said, no.
Hmm.
But at another restaurant, the week before where I went, I said the same question, and she said, oh, if you do it with your card, we'll pay tax on it. So how can one pub do it one way and another?
Any income from anywhere, from anything, for anybody, has to have tax paid on it.
Yeah.
There is no source of income that you can have that doesn't have tax on it.
So maybe it's the boss of the restaurant saying they will pay the tax rather than...
It doesn't work like that. It's a personal tax, and it's a personal income tax on what you've earned, and you have to declare it every year. The only way that you're not going to pay tax is if you don't earn over the threshold, which is
11,500
or whatever it is at the moment.
It's about to go up to
12,000. Yeah. But so if you earn less than that, then you don't pay tax, but you still have to declare it, but you just don't pay any tax on it. Yeah.
I was talking to somebody on Sunday. I was at a family party thing at lunch, and
what did you have to eat, Jules?
Oh, lots. My new husband's Jewish, so it was all kosher and very. I had a very nice potatoey thing, which had a very strange Polish name. Can't remember. I have to tweet you, but it was delicious. Cinnamon and things, fruit salad, of course. Very nice. Yeah, lovely. What else did we have? Can't remember the main course. Oh yeah, nice spicy chicken. Very nice, and a gluten-free cake they made especially for me, which was lovely. Apple cake. And a lemon drizzle.
I hope you didn't pay cash for this.
Lemon drizzle, which is my one.
You tip the staff as well.
I once at Paul's had three slices of his lemon drizzle cake.
Yeah, absolutely.
Large, very pleasant. But he's self-employed, and he works for quite big companies like AXA PP and stuff like that. And he said, because of some new law, and you'll probably know this, it's coming in April, with freelancers, that load of freelancers, especially up in Scotland for some reason,
They're being laid off. They've been around for a time,
but they're being brought into the private sector.
If you work for one company all the time, but you are freelance.
Yeah. It's a personal service company thing with
IR35. IR35 has been in place for a long, long time, but there was a set of rules in the public sector that made the public sector liable if you were what was called caught by IR35. So if HMRC deemed that you weren't really self-employed, that you were in fact an employer, the employer was responsible for the back tax in the public sector.
Yeah.
What they've just rolled out is the same scheme now applies in the private sector.
Yeah.
So if I employ you or go in on an IR35 contract and HMRC decide that you're actually an employee, then I'm liable for the back tax.
So he said that there's just loads of his, he's in IT.
Yeah.
Loads of his colleagues have been made redundant because of it.
It's a big change.
Yeah.
And when they first introduced IR35, 300,000 people effectively lost their jobs.
But just keep, as I say,
when you're in a situation like that, and as Paul rightly says, you know, just everything comes into play. Your buy-to-let property, you know, your pension savings and investments.
Yeah.
So it's not just thinking about, okay, I'm doing this side hustle, I'm doing this, and okay, I've earned 20 grand off it and I've spent 10 grand. You know, everything has to come into play.
Yeah. Mm.
Everything has to be part of your calculations for how much tax you're going to set aside every single month. You should be doing this.
And it's just little and often.
Rather than panic at the end. And that counts
if you're an employee on PAYE as well.
Yeah.
What they've done is, as Lawrence said, it's like in the America with 401k or whatever it is in America. 401k. Everyone in America, every single person has to do a tax return to the IRS every year. I think it's a 401k. They have to fill out a 401k every year. They're just introducing that here now. Basically, people used to pay PAYE and just didn't think about it. Your employer was responsible for taking tax, and that was the last you had to do about it. Now, every single person on the planet, even my mum's 91, she has to do a tax return.
That's ridiculous.
It's ridiculous. And that's because my dad... I had a private pension, and when he died, she still got half the pension. And
mum will have to as well.
Yeah, it's just ridiculous. There comes a point when you've done a few and none of them ever meet the threshold or whatever.
Yeah.
Eventually, HMRC go, don't bother. It's not worth filling it in.
Yeah.
But my mum just tips over the threshold. So every year she has to do a tax return. She's 91 for crying out loud.
I'm sure you do it for her.
No.
Don't you do it for her?
No, I do not.
You go round.
I'll do it for her.
Yeah, thank you.
Go round, have a little bit of... you can't eat cake anymore, can you? Yeah. Bit of cheese.
No, my mum gets her iPad out and she does it all. She's got an app for doing it. Don't you worry.
Good on
she's
you, good. Betty.
She rings me up and she goes, I hope you've claimed your thresholds, you know. Yeah. And I don't know, mum. Yeah, you know, if you haven't, you can pass them on to me and I'll claim them. Okay. All right.
But if you were going to name one country that you thought had a good, you know, because my Sweden one has been booted out of the studio. And my I was very impressed with Norway as well. But
let me. I'll tell you about Norway in a minute.
Would you say that one country has got it right? Or
it's impossible to say, Jules.
Made
it's impossible
it
to say because. Yep. I mean the Hong Kong example.
Yeah.
Where the entire tax system can be summed up in, you know, whatever.
Well, why can't we follow Hong Kong then instead of?
Well, because they don't want to. They want to make it complicated because then you don't know what you're paying.
Yeah.
Because the whole point here is we don't have homologated taxes. That's the whole point. Most other places have homologated taxes. So you pay a tax that goes to that. Yeah. So if you paid a road tax, for instance, a vehicle duty tax in any other country, that would go to the roads. Yeah. But here it doesn't. Everything goes into general taxation and you don't know what you're paying
where
and what is being
going.
Spent.
Exactly.
And that's the problem. But we've got to join the newsroom. But before we do that, Lawrence, thank you so much for that.
You're very welcome.
If people want to find out more about what you're doing, what's the best way to do that?
Look at my Facebook page. It's at easyas123uk. And there's a new website coming at ea123.co.uk that will tell you more about what we're developing and the softwares and everything.